What's going on, Steve? Is everything okay? Oh, I guess I'll have to deploy my emergency auto engineer, Otto.
That's better. Hi, this is Doug Gordon, and welcome back to Beta. It looks like I'm going to have to land this show by myself because our executive producer, Adam Friedrich, and our engineer, Steve Gotcher, must have had the fish. I told them to have the chicken, but they wouldn't listen to me. Hey, this sounds like a plot I've heard before. Surely you know which film I'm talking about. That's right, it's that 1980 classic Airplane. Did you know that Airplane was the brainchild of three Wisconsinites from the Milwaukee area? Jim Abrams and the Zucker brothers, David and Jerry.
We knew each other as kids. Mm-hmm. Our dads were business partners, but I'm 3 years older than David and 6 years older than Jerry, so we really didn't know, hang out together when we were growing up. After college, I needed to find a job. Well, I didn't have a car, so I wound up looking in the newspaper and found that if you're an insurance adjuster, that job comes with a car. So I took a job as an insurance adjuster with American Family Insurance. But one day I was out and about being an insurance adjuster, and I ran into David Zucker. And he said to me, "We've got access to something called videotape equipment. You want to come over and we'll mess around with it?" So we got together in their basement in Shorewood, Wisconsin, and we just started recording spoofs of current commercials or movies of the time. And when we got together, it was a very politically charged time. You know, there is Vietnam and Nixon and Black Power and feminism, and all the stuff was going on. But our instinct was always to make fun of the silly stuff in media. So we never went to all the kind of obvious sources for comedy. We just said, isn't that a stupid commercial?
Yeah, this was a really politically charged time. You and the Zucker mm-hmm. brothers were attending UW-Madison, and then you decided to form this sketch comedy troupe called Kentucky Fried Theater. So when you did that, were you still looking at making fun of the media rather than, satirizing what was going on politically?
Yeah, that was our instinct. I don't think we ever... Obviously, there were Ace Trucking Company. There were a bunch of mm-hmm. groups in that era who were making political jokes and stuff, and there were lots of easy, obvious targets. But that was just never our instinct. Our instinct was always to watch a movie and say, isn't that silly?
Then also, because of the fact that so many, as you mentioned, so many other people were taking advantage of politics and using that as kind of their muse and inspiration, Kentucky Fried Theater would have stood out because, hey, these are the guys who, make fun of the media and things.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what happened. We opened the theater first at the University of Wisconsin and ran it there for a year, and then decided we'd try to expand our careers a little and move to California, see if we can make it onto The Tonight Show. So we packed up all of our chairs and our gear and stuff in a U-Haul from Madison and drove to Los Angeles and found an old warehouse and kind of rehabbed it and turned it into Kentucky Fried Theater in Los Angeles. And that did extremely well.
Then in 1977, you and the Zucker brothers took Kentucky Fried Theater and turned it into a film. You wrote a screenplay for Kentucky Fried Movie, which was directed by John Landis, who, of course, is famous for many movies, including Animal House, American Werewolf in London. And I remember seeing Kentucky Fried Movie and being really knocked out by it.
I remember making Kentucky Fried Movie, and I remember thinking, someday I'm going to get married, someday I'm going to have kids, and someday I'm going to have to explain this to them.
And how'd that go over?
Not so well, although I must say, when my oldest kid was like 8 or 9, I walked into the TV room in our house, and he was sitting around with 3 or 4 of his buddies, and the frame was frozen on a shot from a skit from Kentucky Fried Movie called Catholic High School Girls in Trouble. And if you remember that skit, you can probably guess what frame that they had frozen.
More shocking than Behind the Green Door, Catholic High School Girls in Trouble.
that's basically what the whole the film, the Kentucky right. Fried Movie contained largely unconnected sketches that, for the most part, parodied various film genres, right?
Exactly. And some of Kentucky Fried Movie, actually what happened was we invited John Landis to see Kentucky Fried Theater, and he was the one who suggested, he said, well, why don't you make this into a movie? And we said, how do you do that? And he said, well, first you have to write a script. And he said, how do you do that? So he gave us a script to copy its form. And it turns out that script was American Werewolf in London.
Mm, yeah. And then you also, in addition to these film trailers, these mock trailers, you also spoofed TV commercials and right. news broadcasts and classroom right. educational films.
In the past year, over 800,000 Americans have died. Despite millions of dollars of research, death continues to be our nation's number one killer. Hello, I'm Henry Gibson, speaking to you on behalf of the United Appeal for the Dead.
And so it was well received, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very well received, and it was very kind of, for certainly considering the budget, it was very well received. I think it cost $600,000 or something like that to make. And so suddenly we were three guys who wrote a movie that did pretty well.
Then now, surely now, is the perfect time to talk about the big movie.
Did you
made.
Say surely on purpose?
Yeah, I did.
Can you fly this plane and land it?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
But anyway, now's the perfect time to talk about the 1980 movie that you, David, and Jerry Zucker wrote and directed together, and that is still so famous that we're talking about it, Airplane. Where did the idea for Airplane come from?
The way we would get material for Kentucky Fried Theater, a lot of it, what we would do when we were running the theater is we'd leave the tape recorder on all night long, because that's when the stupidest, you know, commercials and shows tend to come on.
Yes.
So one day, and I'm thinking it was 1973, we got to work in the morning and we looked at what we had videotaped the night before, and there was this movie called Zero Hour. Mm. And it was the story of a pilot, not clear what war, who had PTSD and was in love with this girl, and she was a stewardess, and he followed her onto the plane, and then there was food poisoning on the plane, and he had to overcome his demons and land the plane, which is Airplane.
Yeah.
But a very straight Ford melodrama of Airplane. So we thought, wow, this is perfect.
All
we
yeah.
had, and because the story was great and the characters were great, and all we had to do was sort of like hang our jokes on the story and we could make a movie.
Yeah, and didn't you guys think that your script borrowed so much from Zero Hour, the 1957 film, that you thought you had to buy the rights?
We did have to. I think it was for $2,500. We bought the rights to Zero Hour. There are very specific rules about parody and what you can do and what you can't do. But certainly we crossed the line. We took their character and stories and a lot of lines. I mean, there's actually a line in Zero Hour that says,
"The life of everybody aboard depends on just one thing. Finding someone back there who not only can fly this plane, but who didn't have fish for dinner."
"The life of everyone on board depends upon just one thing. Finding someone back there who can not only fly this plane, but who didn't have fish for dinner."
Airplane's chock full of surreal humor, slapstick comedy, visual and verbal puns, and it has a very fast pace. You kind of have to watch it repeatedly to catch everything. I'm curious about how the writing process worked. Were you and the Zuckers just riffing gags and bouncing ideas off one another?
Yeah, so the way that Dave and Jerry and I would work together is we would get together in the morning, like a regular office job, pretty much, and drink coffee and procrastinate as long as we could and talk sports and politics and everything. And then we would start to look at the movies that we, and in the case of Airplane, we would look at it and say, wouldn't it be funny if in this scene...
"You'd better tell the captain we've got to land as soon as we can. This woman has to be gotten to a hospital."
"A hospital? What is it?"
"It's a big building with patients, but that's not important right now."
"Excuse me, sir. There's been a little problem in the cockpit."
"The cockpit? What is it?"
"It's the little room in the front of the plane where the pilots sit. That's not important right now."
To me, the most fun of the whole process was sitting in the room with those guys, coming up with jokes and then saying, "Yeah, but what if this? The rest of the time, you're kind of going through this process of trying to make it look on the screen the way you imagined it in your head.
Did you come close to making it look the way you imagined it in your head on the screen?
I think we did, yeah. And the key was, and obviously the biggest struggle was, to cast straight actors as opposed to comedians in the movie. And at first, Paramount was sort of resistant to that idea. Mm-hmm. They didn't quite understand why we wanted to do something like that. But to have Robert Stack and Lloyd Bridges and Leslie and Peter Graves, you know, who had had full careers of being dramatic actors, suddenly kind of spoof themselves was kind of the key, I think, to a lot of the success of Airplane. We wanted to duplicate what a real dramatic movie looks like and just add the jokes. And I think that there was something very endearing about those four actors spoofing themselves in a movie. And in essence, they had had full careers and they were kind of having a laugh at their own expense of their own careers.
Were any of them reluctant? Like, did they feel that, oh, I don't want to do this. This could ruin my career. I'm known as a dramatic actor.
I think they all were.
Yeah.
I think none more than Peter Graves, who winds up being a pedophile.
Joey, we have something here for our special visitors. Would you like to have it?
Thanks a lot.
Sure. You ever been in a cockpit before?
No, sir. I've never been up in a plane before.
You ever seen a grown man naked? Joey, do you ever hang around the gymnasium?
We better get back now, Joey.
No, Joey can stay here for a while if he'd like.
Could I?
At the time, was there any discussion? Like, was there debate about, geez, can we do this?
I'm telling you, in 39 years, is that what you said? 38, 39 years, no one's ever objected. Hmm. And no one ever says, you know, that's just out of bounds. No, and there are lots of jokes where they don't do that. There's this little girl who says she takes her coffee black like her men. That would never go over today. The nice thing is we got away with it and it's done and you can't undo it.
There are so many funny, so many iconic lines in Airplane that people still quote 38 years later. Surely you must have some personal favorites. Can you name a few?
Did you do that again?
Yeah, I did do it again, yeah. I can't put anything by you, Jim.
Yeah. Well, actually, over the years, I've had a bunch of personal favorites. But in the last several years, I think my favorite has become, there's a scene with Leslie, the doctor, Leslie Nielsen, mm-hmm. and Peter Graves, the pilot, and the doctor says,
Captain, how soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me I'm a doctor.
No, I mean, I'm just not sure.
Or can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
And as opposed to virtually everything else in Airplane, that's not really a parody line. That's a satiric line. That's about medical arrogance. And as my life has panned out, my family's health has been affected by medical arrogance. Mm. And so for some reason, that line resonates the most with me. Obviously, at the time we wrote it, you know, it was just another joke.
Yeah, that brings up the point that you talked about both parody and satire. What is the difference in terms of Airplane? What do you consider parody and what do you consider satire?
I consider 99% of Airplane parody, making fun of the movie, making fun of the genre. Dave and Jerry and I have this conversation all the time. There are movies like Dr. Strangelove, which is satire, which has a political point of view. I don't think we ever had a political point of view. Our point of view was, hey, look, you don't have to take this seriously.
Is it true that casting Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as a pilot was a nod to a similar role that was played by UW football star Elroy Crazy Legs Hirsch in Zero Hour?
Absolutely. So in Zero Hour, the pilot is Elroy Hirsch. And as wonderful a football player and athletic director he was, he really couldn't act. And it was pretty obvious. So that was the key to it. So, well, why don't we put someone in, you know, really well-known sports figure? Let's put a sports figure in the movie and call him out right in the middle of the movie.
Wait a minute. I know you. You're Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You play basketball for the Los Angeles Lakers.
I'm sorry, son, but you must have me confused with someone else. My name is Roger Murdoch. I'm the co-pilot.
I think you're the greatest, but my dad says you don't work hard enough on defense. And he says that lots of times you don't even run down court, and that you don't really try, except during the playoffs.
The hell I don't. Listen, kid, I've been hearing that crap ever since I was at UCLA. I'm out there busting my buns every night. Tell your old man to drag Walton and Lanier up and down the court for 48 minutes.
Joey, do you like movies about gladiators?
Interestingly, or I'm not sure if it's interesting or not, I'll say it, and you can decide if it's interesting. We wrote the part originally for Pete Rose.
Oh.
But Airplane got greenlit in the summer, so we filmed during the summer, and Kareem was available, and Pete Rose was playing baseball. So that's how Kareem wound up in the movie.
How did you come up with the idea of casting America's favorite TV mom, Barbara Billingsley, and having her speak jive?
She actually was not our first choice. Our first choice was Harriet Nelson.
Oh, and Eliza and Harriet, yeah.
And yeah, she would have been good too, huh?
She would have, but she didn't want to do it.
Legend is, I'm not sure if this is true, that Ricky kind of talked her out of it.
Oh, Ricky, jeez.
Yeah. But Barbara Billingsley was great.
She was.
Yeah.
That's a great scene.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Cuddy say can't hang.
Oh, stewardess, I speak jive.
Oh, good.
He said that he's in great pain and he wants to know if you can help him.
All right, would you tell him to just relax and I'll be back as soon as I can with some medicine.
Just hang loose, blood. She gonna catch up on the rebound on the med side.
What it is, big mama. My mama raised no dummies. I duck her rap.
Cut me some slack, Jack.
Say, cutting me, Jack. We say,
Chump don't want to help. Chump don't get to help.
How do you think that scene holds up today, looking through it through our current cultural lens?
People still laugh. That's my only measure. I've never heard objections to it. And I remember in 1980 going to a theater in Los Angeles that was an African-American community theater and watching those scenes just for that reason. And they laughed. You know, they laughed more, certainly as much as any other audience laughed, because when you look at those scenes, those are making fun of white people much more than they are, you know, it's spread around. But mostly, you know, it's making fun of white people.
What would a movie like Airplane fly today? I think I know what you say, but I've got to ask it.
Well, I hope so. I don't think we'd get away with it. You know, I just simply don't think we'd get away with it. I don't think we'd get away with those lines. I've seen it probably in the last couple years with an audience, which was really fun. It holds up as well today as it did back then. I would say lots of it holds up as well today as it did in 1980.
I won't deceive you, Mr. Stryker. We're running out of time.
Shirley, there must be something you can do.
I'm doing everything I can. And stop calling me Shirley.
That's Jim Abrams. He, along with David Zucker and Jerry Zucker, are the writers and directors of Airplane. You can find out more about Jim and Airplane at wpr.org/beta.